where slavery and sonship are linguistically parallel, right? What runs parallel to fear? We didn't receive the spirit of slavery to fall back into fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption as sons. And you would think, well, aren't we going to hear the parallel, the opposite of fear? And we do. We don't cry out your honor, or we don't cry out God Almighty, but it says by God's Spirit we cry Abba Father. It's the cry of a youngster calling out not to a judge to set things right, but calling out to a parent. Right? Our reaction is Abba Father, a cry that's rooted in love, rooted in trust and safety, what a child speaks to a parent. Right? It's warm relationship. It emerges from a place of security and confidence, which is the opposite of fear. And you could still be received into a family, and maybe some of you have felt that, but even within your own family, you don't have that sense of deep grounding and security. Right? The comfort that comes of knowing that there is a place for you that will never be lost. Remember what Jesus said in John's Gospel, whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. And this is the will of him who sent me, that I should lose nothing of all that he's given to me. Everyone who looks on the Son and believes in him should have eternal life. Right? Our place in the family is absolutely secure, and we can live our days with confidence. We didn't earn our way into the family, and neither do we need to work to keep our place in the family. It's gifted to us and will never be rescinded. That's a part of being God's covenant people. When God makes his covenant with us, it's not a contract where breaking it on one side breaks it on the other. It's a covenant where God will always be faithful. We were wanted and we've been adopted into the inner circle, and any anxiety dissolves, right? And we now have assured contentment that replaces that spirit of fear. Adoption means that we can rest in the love of God our Father. So we don't want to just be in the courtroom knowing that our debt is paid and that the legal piece is all taken care of and justice has been done because of what Jesus did on the cross. There's also a beautiful metaphor of family that Paul is communicating. And finally, adoption gives us future status. Right? Kind of what Jesus says, he who believes in him will have eternal life. Right? We become heirs, and amazingly, we are co-heirs with Jesus himself. Right? Co-heirs with Jesus. That is some kind of family status, right? So imagine if you were strangely adopted by the royal family. Alice Garnett is like, ooh, I would love that. Right? Imagine if you were adopted by the royal family. How cool would that be, right? To have all the privileges and rights of being a member of the royal family. And now Prince William, you know, is your brother. You are a co-heir with Prince William by being adopted into that family. This is what adoption gives you, right? An enduring relationship that secures future status alongside your fellow heir. In this case, not Prince William, but in this case, Jesus himself. King Jesus is a fellow heir alongside you. And as your father, God wants to be sure that you have full family rights. Right? When the end of days comes, you're not set aside like some ward that God has cared for a season, but now, you know, he doesn't have any responsibility for you. You're not given the basement room like some embarrassment to the family. Right? You're not cast off when your sponsoring parent, you know, moves on from the scene. You are established as a co-heir with the oldest son. Right? Hebrews 2 tells us he is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Put that on your bathroom mirror. Look at that every single morning. He is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. Adoption reminds us that our restoration to God isn't simply a matter of legal status, and it's certainly more than a servant-master relationship. Adoption means following Jesus is a family thing, that we are sons and daughters of God, that we are tied to him like those who are born by his own blood, which of course we are, born to him by the blood of Jesus. So now when we look at the dysfunction of families and fathers in our own lives and all around us, so much brokenness, so much hurt and woundedness around families and around father figures, we may be inclined to struggle to grasp the beauty of what it means to call God Father, or to be part of a healthy church family. Because our Father, if we use the image of our Father as God, that's problematic for us. There are people that say, I can't pray to God as Father because it brings up all this stuff for me and that gets in the way. Or it's hard for me to understand the church as family because my family was so abusive and so fractured and so dysfunctional that it's not good for me to think of my church community as a family. But if your personal experience is a barrier, I want to say as strongly as possible to you, the solution is not to abandon the term Father for God or to find some metaphor for the church other than family. Instead of projecting our experiences back into God's reality, let God define Father and let Scripture give us the ideal of family. Let the eternal image speak to us of what the earthly should be and not the other way around. Start in that place, letting Scripture and God's revelation guide you. And then grieve how your own experience has not met God's design. Grieve that loss. And God will weep with you. That your world is not the world he meant for you. Your church experience may be a part of what makes it hard for you to continue to see church as family. Grieve what you have lost and let Jesus stand beside you and hold on to you and say, that's not what I intended. That hurt you have known, that loss that you have experienced. Look at the design and try to walk into the design I have. We cannot let our own experiences in this broken world rewrite the revelation of God's genuine reality. And in too many places already, that approach is creating destruction on all levels of society, where we take our own broken experience and try to cast that onto God. But instead, celebrate that you have a perfect Father whose adoption of you reminds you that you are wanted, that your place is secure, that you have a future status as inheritor alongside your brother, Jesus. This is the good news that Jesus brings us over and over and over. Let's pray together. Our good Father, we bring to you the hurts and brokenness of our own experience with our fathers, of our own unsettledness with our families, and even of our church, as our church experience as family. Father, it has not always been in any of these pieces of our lives, not always been what we would want nor what you would have wanted. Father, protect us from living under the wrong idea of who you are, but instead continue to make your revelation clear to us. Embrace us as your children. Assure us that indeed we are a part of your family. And Lord, help us to welcome others into your family in a way that images for them the eternal heavenly kingdom that is yet coming. So Father, do that work in us. Make yourself known to us in that way. We pray through the name of our brother, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand as we close?
that.